Morning, everyone. What a powerful statement, I am. I wrote the beginning of my sermon this morning, but I was just watching it, and I'm going to go off, and I apologize as such. I don't know if you guys have been watching the news, but I'm heartbroken, and just stuff that is going on at the moment. I woke up this morning to it. I didn't watch it last night. I woke up this morning to it. And just absolute heartbreak of what's going on. Most of you would know I have a daughter in Sydney at the moment. And I just think of all those kids that were in that shopping centre at that time. But what a powerful statement I am. It was funny, I got the privilege, and Dawn got the privilege this week, to go to a seminar on listening to God, listening and hearing what He has to say. And as I was writing this sermon, as I was preparing, God kept saying to me, "You need to remember this. You need to remember this. You need to listen. This is not just for you. This is for everyone." Be excited. There's some great stuff that's going to happen in this. There's Ask Dawn, Ask Me. There's a few things that are coming out of that. But at a moment, we're going to preach on the seven I am statements, which I think just ties in beautifully knowing God, knowing who He is to us. And in a time like this, this is when we need to know who He is, yeah? We need to keep faith because it's hard when things around us are not the same. And I ask you a few questions that I want you to keep in mind, okay? What did Jesus claim about Himself? Who did Jesus say He was? Do we really know Him personally? And what can I learn from this passage? So today, as I'm preaching, as we're looking at this passage, they're the questions that I want you to keep in mind. So we're going to start with John 6, verse 3. And it says, "Then Jesus declares, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty.'" What a great statement. When I think of bread, I can't help but think of that freshly smell that comes with cooked bread. Has anyone had that? About 2 years ago, I saved up for a machine. It's called a Thermomix, for those that know them. Whole reason that I asked for Thermi was that I had this dream that I was going to cook fresh bread because I love the smell of fresh bread. Don't particularly like the taste, but I love the smell of fresh bread. My husband is shaking his head. This machine costs a lot of money, and this was the one thing that I wanted. I just wanted to make freshly cooked bread as such. If you ask our household, it doesn't happen very often. I am not the cooker. Can I just say, Thermi really didn't help with that either. I tried, still doesn't work. I will deal with that later. But the thing is, in our diet, we don't really need bread, do we? Well, I mean, we have it because it's nice, but we don't need it. Our diets are so rich in other aspects. We don't really need bread. It's one of those things that we could go a couple of days, a couple of weeks without having bread in our diet. Some people say no, some people say yes. It's a debate, but anyway. However, in the time that Jesus was talking to this crowd, telling the people that He was the bread of life, bread was the most important and basic part of a diet. If you had a bread, some water, and a little wine, you had a meal. If you added some additional fish or red meat, a slice of cheese, a few dates, you ate very well. What a difference. You think about what you had last night for dinner. Very different. When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he was not saying, "I am the freshly baked loaf from Baker's Delight with the sesame seed on top." But he was saying, "I am what you need to live by. I am the only one who can really nourish you along life's journey." However, why did Jesus use this metaphor? Why was he saying that he was the bread of life? When Jesus spoke of himself of the bread of life, his Jewish hearers would have immediately thought of Moses, who fed the Israelites in the wilderness with bread. So not surprisingly, someone in the crowd called out, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven.'" In reply, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. You may admire Moses, but I offer you something more. Something that Moses cannot offer you. I do not give you bread that decays and only feeds the body. I give you bread that offers eternal life. I surpass Moses." All the Gospels tell of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But only John has a long account of what took place after this and what Jesus said by way of explanation. See, John tells us the next day a large crowd again came to Jesus, and this time Jesus chastised them, saying that they had only come hoping to be fed again. However, Jesus doesn't give up. He doesn't walk away. Instead, he decides to use it as a teaching moment, a moment to bring some light to a situation. He says what they should do is seek after the true bread from heaven, the bread that gives life to the world. The crowd took Jesus' word literally. They wanted so much of this bread as they could. So they cry out, "Give us this bread always." In reply, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." What these people missed was, by referring to himself as the bread of life, Jesus was saying that he was essential. He was the one who men and women could not do without. Coming to Jesus for this bread is not literally coming to one who might at a shop come to a shop that sells bread. It involves believing, coming to Jesus to find eternal life, salvation. Note, Jesus does not say, "Come to church each week and you will get the bread of life." I do encourage you to come to church, but that's not what he's saying. "Or working for the poor and needy will earn you the bread of life." All good things. But Jesus is the bread of life, and he gives this bread to those who believe in him. That is, those who recognize that in Jesus, God is at work to save, and so trust in him. At first thought, we ask, how did the Jews miss the point when Jesus spoke of bread that truly satisfies? Why did they first think of ordinary bread? The answer is because they were just like us. The material rewards of life were now pressing and active than spiritual reward. What they wanted was an unending supply of bread that could make their daily life easier. Imagine if one day in a dream we heard Jesus say to us, I have a wonderful gift for you. I bet most of us would say, how much money are you going to give me? Or is it a new car? Is it a great holiday? We so easily count our blessings in material terms. Now, the gospel records that whenever Jesus did a miracle, it was one of two reasons. He did so either out of compassion for a hurting person or to teach an important spiritual principle, to proclaim a message about himself or his kingdom. When it comes to this crowd, apparently the message Jesus conveyed by multiplying the bread and fishes fell on deaf ears. Instead of seeking to apply his teaching to their own lives, they respond by asking for more displays of his power before they would believe what he had to say. Well, why didn't Jesus do what they asked and perform another miracle? Right then and there, to convince them that he was the Son of God, the bread of life. Because he could have. I think it was because he knew that it would do no good for these guys who were too focused on the gift to see the giver. They had just witnessed one of Jesus's greatest acts of power. And if seeing a miracle the first time didn't lead them to believe he was who he is, said he was, it is doubtful that a second would have any effect. Maybe this is one reason that with all the power of God in his hands, Jesus was so oblivious when it came to miracles. He knew that they attracted crowds, but rarely encouraged repentance or long-term faithfulness. Miracles won't satisfy our hunger for God. Only a personal relationship with the bread of life will. The crowd that day needed a miracle, all right, but they were seeking the wrong kind. They needed the inner, less obvious, but more powerful miracle that came from repenting of our sins and claiming Jesus as Lord and Saviour. For in that decision, we experience the miracle of a saved soul and a forgiving heart. Like so many today, the people we read about were existing to satisfy only their physical desire. And as a result, they had fat bodies but famished souls. You see, we are unique beings. The only creation in all of God's creation that have been made in his image. I'm not saying we necessarily look like God, but rather that inside we are like him. God in his spirit, and unlike rocks or trees or animals or insects, he has breathed a life, a spirit into each of us. We are the only beings on this planet with souls, and these souls are eternal. So one thing that separates us from the other creatures of the world is that food doesn't satisfy us. We can have all the food in the world and still be hungry. And I know this true because you can't go anywhere on earth or watch the news without finding people hungry for something more than a full belly. There is a restlessness in all of us that craves something more substantial. As Jesus told Satan when he tempted our Lord to make physical bread which will satisfy his hunger, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You and I were designed to require more than mere physical nourishment. We were created with the need for spiritual nourishment as well. And this substance is only found in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. But this hungry crowd missed the truth. And today people make the same mistake. They look in all the wrong places to satisfy their inner hunger for something more. the pleasure of this world are tempting and fading. Only the relationship with Jesus can satisfy the immortal longing and the insatiable hunger of a human heart and soul. As the band comes to play, I want you to consider something. When Jesus reveals himself as the one and only bread of life, that day many of his followers in verse 60, they said, "This is hard teaching. Who can accept it?" In verse 66, it says, "For this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." What about you? Can you accept this hard teaching that Jesus is the only way to satisfy your hunger for abundant life? Will you turn and walk away from Jesus, or will you embrace him as Savior and Lord? You know, the greatest miracle God does, the highest demonstration of his power, is seen when through his blood shed on the cross, he forgave our sin, saved us and redeemed us. He waited to perform that miracle in you this morning. Today is a symbol. I have some bread. There's nothing special about the bread. It doesn't hold any power. But I wonder, as you contemplate Jesus being your bread, the life, the sustainer of all that you need, what is it that you might need? What do you need to give up for him to be that person for you? What is it that's stopping you from fully relying on God being your bread of life? Maybe you just need to let something go. Maybe you just need to retell God that he is your bread of life. Or maybe this is the first time you're asking him to be the bread of life. Whatever it is God is asking of you today, I encourage you to listen. He wants to be our bread. He wants to be the sustainer. He wants to be everything for you. So whatever it is today, as the band plays, and I ask you to respond, whether it's sitting in your chair and just talking to God, whether it's coming up and getting a piece of bread, whether it's dribbling honey on the bread because you know that he's going to give you something good. But whatever it is, I encourage you to do it, because if we don't, we're not listening, are we? We need to listen. We need to follow. We need to be what God has called us to be. So as the band plays, I invite you to listen.